Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 34. Chanchalam Himana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam Tasyaham Nigraham Manye Vayor Eva Suduskaram Chanchalam Flickering. He certainly, Manaha, mine, Krishna, O Krishna, Pramati, agitating, Balavat, strong, Dridam, obstinate, Tasya, its, Aham, I, Nigraham, subduing, Manye, think. Vayo, of the wind. Eva, like. Suduskaram, difficult. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. Purport. The mind is so strong and obstinate that it sometimes overcomes the intelligence, although the mind is supposed to be subservient to the intelligence. For a man in the practical world who has to fight so many opposing elements, it is certainly very difficult to control the mind. Artificially, one may establish a mental equilibrium towards both friend and enemy, but ultimately no worldly man can do so, for this is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. In the Vedic literature, Kathi Upanishad, it is said, Atmanam rahinam vidi shariram ratam evacha buddhim tu saratim vidi manak pragraham evacha indriyani hayan ahur Vishayam steshu gocharan amendriya mano yuktam voktet yahur manishinaha. The individual is the passenger in the car of the material body, and intelligence is the driver. Mind is the driving instrument, and the senses are the horses. The self is thus the enjoyer or sufferer in the association of the mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers. Intelligence is supposed to direct the mind, but the mind is so strong and obstinate that it sometimes overcomes even one's own intelligence, as an acute infection may surpass the efficacy of medicine. Such a strong mind is supposed to be controlled by the practice of yoga, but such practice is never practical for a worldly person like Arjuna. And what can we say of modern man? The simile used here is appropriate. One cannot capture the blowing wind, and it is even more difficult to capture the turbulent mind. The easiest way to control the mind, as suggested by Lord Chaitanya, is chanting Hare Krishna, the great mantra for deliverance, in all humility. The method prescribed here is Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. One must engage one's mind fully in Krishna. Only then will there remain no other engagements to agitate the mind. Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayor eva sudhiskuram. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, a very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. Bhagavad Gita, the mind is mentioned quite a number of times. In the third chapter, when Arjuna asks, well, Krishna tells Arjuna, Shreyan Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitat Shre Dharme Nidanam Shreyak Paradharmo Bhayavaha. That it is better to perform one's own duty, even imperfectly, than to perform someone else's duty. Destruction in the course of one's own duty is better, because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. apostasy in Russian. Ichivo strashnava. Strashnava. What's that? Strashna. Yes, dangerous. There's an apostasy. What language is that? What's that?
Croatian.
Croatian. So, I just get my languages mixed up all over. So how to control, so the mind, Krishna, well, it all, Krishna, Arjuna is asking Krishna, or Krishna was telling Arjuna, we should find out what our duty is and then we should perform it, otherwise we're in trouble. So Arjuna was interested, well, here I am, I'm a warrior, and I'm supposed to fight in this battlefield, but I'm not going to do it. Now there must be something, you're telling me I should fight, and I decide I'm not going to do it. Now, what's the difference between what you're telling me and what I'm going to do? I'm thinking that maybe what you're saying might be right, but there's other force telling me not to follow your instructions. So what is it? So Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudvava, Ahashina Mahapatma Vidinam Ihavarina. That it's lust only, Arjuna, born of the material mode of passion, later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Now people don't even know they're being directed by lust or anger or greed because they're in delusion. They're self-absorbed in lust, anger, and greed that they're in delusion. And therefore they don't even notice what's going on. And why don't they notice? Because they have no memory. They can't remember from one day to the next what happened. And why can't they remember? Because they have no intelligence. They don't even know they can't remember. And why have they lost their intelligence? 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatas chanudinam dharma. Sattvam socham dayashama. Palena kalyar rajan. Nakshantya yorbulam smriti. Day after day in Kali Yuga, dharma, religious principles will go down. I remember when I was in college, I had one friend who I met when I was in my freshman year in college. His name was Jeffrey Hickey. He later on got initiated as Jagadish. He became Jagadish Maharaj also. He was a sannyasi in the GBC. He actually was the GBC for Italy for some time. And he dropped out of school after his freshman year. And one day I was talking with one of my professors and him, he was there, and he mentioned the word God. And I got very embarrassed that he mentioned that word in the presence of a so-called learned person. To talk about God was not exactly popular in those days. Unless you claim that everyone was God, then you might get some credit. Probably came to the University of Buffalo in 69. He came to the temple in Buffalo. He came to Buffalo in 69 where I went to college. And he gave a lecture at the university. There were hundreds of students there. And he started to talk about God. And as soon as he started to talk about God, a good probably half the students got up and left. God was not a popular topic. So, dharma. People don't know any. Dharma means these only. The one rule and regulation is that there are no rules and regulations. That's the only rule and regulation they follow. The golden rule. You've heard of the golden rule before? From the Bible, there's something called the golden rule. You've heard of the golden rule before? No, it's supposed to be in the Bible. It says, "Do unto others as you have them do unto you." But now the newest golden rule is, "He who has gold, they rule." So every day Dharma goes down, and along with Dharma, because people don't follow any regular principles, therefore they're under the control of lust, anger, greed, delusion, etc. And therefore, day after day, their socham, the cleanliness, satya, truthfulness, mercy, and tatasyanudinam dharma, sattvam, socham, daya, shama, forgiveness and mercy, they go down. By the strong force of Kali Yuga, people lose their memory and their bodily strength. So people can't remember anything. They have no intelligence left. And therefore they don't even notice what's going on. More or less. I mean, they notice to a certain extent. But their attention span is so much, like they can't remember how many times they've been cheated. So they get cheated again and again. The same people do the same scams again and again. And they fall for the same, they're victims of the same scam. Now, why are they victims? Because they have no intelligence. And why do they have no intelligence? Because they're sinful. So, what is the mechanism? This is explained in the... Well, first of all, I haven't finished. With Dumena Vriyate Vanir, Itarda Arsho Malena Cha, Itovin Avrita Garvas, Tate De Avritam. That just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by the dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So if you want to see what, now the gross covering, you can just look in the mirror and see what we're covered by, this gross body. But our identification with it is the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature are like the intoxication for the soul. So the soul is intoxicated by the modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness. And these modes, these energies of Krishna, which is like a vibration that just bewilders the consciousness of the soul, depends upon how much lust we're covered by. When the lust is very intense and thick, it's called ignorance. And when it's a little less, it's called passion. When it's still less, it's called goodness. So in goodness, some of the consciousness of the soul comes out so we can actually see things as they really are. And when the vibration gets thicker, then we see less and less. We're more deluded. And not only that, but avritam gyane etena gyaneno nityavarinam kamarupena kunteya duspraena analena cha. That's a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal form of lust, but is never satisfied and burns like fire. So if you ever find yourself hankering after something, only if I had this, then I'd feel better, or I needed this or that. And if you feel impelled to get it, that this is what I have to work for, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to get, then that's lust. We're faithful servants of lust. Kamadinam katida, katida, palitas, duranideshas, in so many different ways, in so many different ways. I've been serving lust, but lust has never been very merciful to me, nor was it ever satisfied with what I was doing. It always criticized me for not working harder to serve it. Nor was I ever embarrassed of all the stupid things I did to serve my desires. But now I've gotten a little intelligence, and now I'm going to perform devotional service. So Krishna says, Indriyani mano buddhirasya dishtanam uchate etaravimohadatyesha gyanam avrityadehinam. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Now, what is the mechanism? It's explained in the purport that the lust has captured different strategic points in the body. So if we have to know how to defeat lust, we have to know where the enemy is hiding or it's existing. And the first place it exists is where it exists within the mind. And how does it exist? How do we get into the mind? Guess how? By hearing. Hearing, by hearing. Well, it just, has anyone ever seen, well, everyone has seen a movie. Have you ever seen a movie that you were trying to forget after you saw it? You just couldn't forget it. The more you try to forget it, the more you remember it. So, when we see something, it gets into the mind. When we hear something, especially. Like sometimes you go see devotees, you know, with earphones on. You think, well, maybe they're listening to Prabhupada or something, you know. You listen, you know, it's like, I can't get satisfaction. Because they're addicted. They tried to give it up, the music, but they had withdrawal symptoms, and therefore they couldn't give it up, so they're addicted. So what we're hearing is actually, if we hear something that we're attracted to, we just can't give it up. It just goes in deep into the heart. Now, not only goes into the heart when we hear something, but also it can agitate the senses. That's why you can walk down the street and there's so many billboards just meant to agitate the senses. And what are the billboards about? They're all about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Somehow or another, try to attract you to one of those things. And when the senses become agitated, then the soul has to figure out what to do. Because we have consciousness and we experience the body. And when the senses and the mind are agitated, then we think we're agitated. We are agitated when we're in the material conception of life. And so we try to figure out, how could I stop this agitation? Prahlad Maharaj said, and my janati griha medi sukham itucham kanduyavat eva dukha dukham eva. That he compares sex desire, yan maitu nadi gri hamedi sukham hitucham kanduna neda eva dukha dukham. What's the, I left out one word there. Kayor. Like the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itching sensation. Yan maitu nadi gri hamedi sukham hitucham karura eva kanduna vat kor eva dukha dukham. So that's the material world. It's just scratching an itch, trying to get rid of the itching sensation. That's the whole material existence. And the result of that is that manasijam vishahetadira, it's just a mental concoction, but anyhow, it's a very strong mental concoction. Now, the soul has to figure out what to do. I have this itching sensation. I have this desire. I got to satisfy it. I'm hungry. I'm you know, I want to go to sleep. I want to, you know, she looks beautiful or he looks handsome or maybe he has some money or whatever. So how to satisfy this itching sensation? Well, then the soul has to figure it out. So it asks the intelligence, well, what to do? What am I supposed to do? How do I get rid of this? You know, you've been to school, you're not a fool. So then the intelligence says, well, I'll think of a plan, don't worry about it. Just like, as I said before, the example, a man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman. Because for this man, everyone looks beautiful. But he sees a woman who's attractive and immediately the mind says, go get her. And the intelligence says, wait a second. She has a man next to her. And she has a dot on her forehead. Is this all right? And the mind says, oh, come on, you know. Where have you been? You haven't been living in a hole the whole time, have you? You know, there's only one rule nowadays. If it feels good, then you do it. Haven't you gone to school? I mean, that's what everyone does. That's the law. But then the intelligence says, wait a second, I read something. That dot means that she might be married. Oh, come on, who cares? The mind says, who really cares about these things anymore? Well, she has this man next to her. It's all right, don't worry about it. Think of a plan. Then the soul says, all right, it's a fight between my intelligence and my mind, but I choose the mind. Intelligence, keep quiet, do something practical. Think of a plan how to meet her. So the intelligence now becomes a servant by the direction of the soul, becomes a servant to the mind. Instead of fighting with the mind, it now has been ordered to become a servant. So the intelligence says, well, write her a letter. That's an idea. Tell her she's the most beautiful person you've seen, and put in really small letters in the last 2 weeks. Tell her you're madly in love with her. You want to give her everything, the sun, the moon. And if she's very nice to you, maybe you'll give her a couple extra stars. Yeah. Tell her you're madly in love with her. You want to meet her in such and such place at such and such time. But don't sign the letter, because that man next to her is twice as big as you are. So that's called intelligence being utilized in the service of the mind and senses. But on the other hand, the intelligence could also be utilized in Krishna's service. If the intelligence wins and says, well, I read in Bhagavad Gita, there's something called karma, you might get entangled, lust is never satisfied. In other words, the arguments that you might get from the intelligence, then the soul says, all right, what am I supposed to do? You know, here's this man, this woman, take this Bhagavad Gita and go up to them and tell them they're the most beautiful couple you've ever seen. You're really attracted to them, and you want to give them everything you have, and you say, well, here, since you look really intelligent, here's a Bhagavad Gita. This is just for you. It's meant for intelligent people. And just give a donation. So then the intelligence is utilized in Krishna's service. So that's the choice. Either we utilize the intelligence in Krishna's service by getting directions from higher authorities, from spiritual authorities, or the intelligence we utilize for some material reason to satisfy the mind and the senses. But that's what's explained here. Generally, because people have no spiritual intelligence, they only have material intelligence, and a lot of that, to a certain extent. Therefore, they're just utilizing the material intelligence for what Prahlad Maharaj said is vimudhan. Naiva dvije paradaratya vaitaranya svavirya vikayana mahamrita magna chitak soche vimukachet sendriyarta maya sukhayam bharam uvitovi mudan. He said that, Lord Nrsingadeva, I don't need any benediction from you, because whenever I chant about your glories, my mind merges into an ocean of spiritual happiness, and I become completely happy. So Lord Nrsingadeva said, but why do you look so morose? You know, you're supposed to be happy. Is that your happiness? He said, well, Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, I feel a little disturbed, because whenever I look around, I see all these rascals, these asses. Prahlad Maharaj doesn't say ass, he says vimuda, super asses. They're working hard for material sense gratification, and they're just suffering. They're just creating this problem, that humbug civilization, this ridiculous civilization. So I'm lamenting, I'm trying to figure out ways that they can go back to you and actually become happy. So that's our understanding, is that if people become Krishna conscious, especially by chanting Hare Krishna, then the result is they'll actually become factually happy. Otherwise, they'll pursue their dictation, their mind and senses, and simply get more and more entangled in material actions and reactions, and eventually become degraded into the lower species of life. Therefore, we're trying to distribute the chanting Hare Krishna and teach people how to have faith in the chanting, so they can get the maximum effect from it, get Krishna's association, become free from all material miseries, from lust, anger, and greed, delusion, forgetfulness, and loss of intelligence, and go back to the spiritual world. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
I was quite amazed with the example of Prahlad Maharaj being merciful. So, following his footsteps, I feel like sometimes if I would be merciful towards someone, I think like that would harm him. So, how is there a distinction between mercy? Is mercy always good?
If you don't know what mercy is, then you can't distribute it to anyone. So first we should find out what mercy is. We have to understand that we ourselves are souls, and by nature we should be ecstatic, in love with everyone and everything, with Krishna and with everyone and everything. And we should always be absorbed in an ocean of transcendental happiness, which goes on forever. So that's mercy, to give that out to others. Everything else is a waste of time. We can help someone, you know, feed them or something. Of course, if we don't feed them prasadam, it certainly won't be merciful. But unless we do something to liberate people from their ignorance, their forgetfulness, then we're not really being merciful to them. Something. We may try to elevate them in some way, because if people are hungry, for instance, they may not be able to pay attention to what we're saying. Right now, most people are not hungry, but they just don't pay attention because they're distracted. But somehow or another, we have to give them the message of Krishna, and then that's being merciful. Everything else besides that is just a distraction.
The last piece of cake. Example, like a stupid example. And devotee doesn't get it, and he's all morose. And there is one more cake, and you're thinking, maybe not give it to him that he deals with it.
What's that?
Maybe not give this cake to him because he will deal with all this mental stuff he has in head, and that will help him, or give him like a case of like.
Well, I think the simpler thing is just give him the piece of cake. Otherwise, we might get entangled in our own mental problems. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. So why is it when you're speaking about this fighting between the mind and the intelligence, I was thinking, why is it that some attachments, some habits, they're like so easy to give up, we don't even think about them after a short time, but some we are fighting for years and years.
Because we've been here since, most of us have been here since time immemorial, doing the same thing over and over again. It's called a groove of vasana. So just every time you do it, it gets a deeper and deeper groove. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending, we've been grooving into it. And it's really deep. It doesn't go away. And when it comes up, we say, I don't want it. And Maya says, what don't you want? I don't want that. What was that? Can you tell me again? I don't want that. And then we get more attached to it. The more we try to reject it, the more we become attached to it. Deeper it goes. So, it takes a while to gradually become detached. The best thing is we get a little detached, we feel a little ecstasy and go, yeah, I'm a pure devotee, I made so much advance that Maya can't touch me. And Maya says, oh yeah? My favorite example is Rajneesh. You heard of Rajneesh? Oso? You've heard of Rajneesh? So Rajneesh was a famous brahmachari in India. And he became very proud because he was a famous brahmachari. So one day he put an advertisement in the principal newspapers in India challenging any woman to try have him fall down. So one famous prostitute from Delhi came and challenged him. And they spent the night together. And the next day he wrote an article called Liberation Through Sex. So we have to be a little careful dealing with Maya. And not say that, you know, oh, the little, you know, why am I attached? Because we're attached, because we're in ignorance. We have no idea what... First of all, we have no idea what the realm of Krishna consciousness is. All we can do is hear about it. You know, and most of the time we think, oh, this is just like imagination. That, you know, the flowers and the trees and everyone else were ecstatic when they saw Krishna. Yeah, this is just, you know, some fairy tale or something. We have no idea of the depth of our conditioning, nor do we have any real experience with the depth of the ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. So we just have to take the gradual path and gradually make some advancement, and gradually things will be revealed to us. And now some of the things that seemed impossible will become easy, and some of the things we thought were easy, we'll realize how difficult they are.
So when you said we should take the gradual path, how does it look like if someone is jumping forward, skipping steps?
Jumping like a frog or something?
No, like skipping the gradual
no,
steps.
No one skips the gradual process. You try to jump over and you wind up falling into a ditch. No one skips the process. It's not possible. This is the fastest process. Chanting. What it looks like is become a sahajya. You know, you think, well, why should I go through the whole process of realizing who I am? I'll just imagine I'm a gopi. And I'll find other gopis too. I'm a gopi, you know, I'm a gopi. And you won't take the I don't need these books, I don't need this philosophy. I'm already transcendental to all these things. I don't even need Krishna. Krishna needs me because I'm a gopi. So the mind will come up with so many things. And just, that's what it looks like. And you'll think I'm really advanced. They don't realize how advanced I am because they're all offenders. They're all neophytes. They have this weird philosophy, you gotta follow these regular principles of freedom. I'm already free because I'm a gopi. They gotta chant these rounds and they gotta do all these strange things. But I'm already free just because I went to the right person and he told me who I am. I'm a gopi. No, you can just meditate on Radha and Krishna. This is really exciting, especially when they're in the bushes. And it won't affect me because I'm a gopi too. That's what it looks like. Anything else? Yes.
So this example, distributing books or trying to get the lady, obviously we're not on one side or the other side, we're somewhere in between. So how to tip the scales more in
Tasvatvam Indriya Nyado Niyamya Bharatarshava Patmanam Pradihiyanam Gyana Viganam Nashanam. Krishna gives the solution. Therefore in the very beginning Arjuna curbed this great symbol of lust by regulating the senses and destroy this layer of knowledge and self-realization. So that's what we're doing. Get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, 10 Mangala Arati, read the hear about Krishna, go out and serve, that's regularly, serve Krishna. And gradually we'll remember Krishna, and then everything will, all this lost anger and greed and everything else will just vanish, just like the fire, blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so is the fire of Krishna consciousness burn to ashes all the different reactions to our previous activities.
put Krishna in the heart by doing Krishna service, and then everything else will be taken care of. Okay, thank you very much. Krandaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.